Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village International Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and co-host Doug Bentley. In our first segment, Dr. Douglas interviews Temple Hayes, best-selling author of When Did You Die? 8 Steps to Stop Dying and Start Waking Up. Plus, an inspiring speaker and guide for living life out loud. Temple Hayes is a humanitarian, life rights advocate, and shamanic practitioner. Now, here's our Global Village radio show host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, my special guest today is an amazing woman who has gone through many, many ups and downs in her life as a person who is a true survivor and somebody who has gained a lot of wisdom in her life. You are going to be fascinated by this lady's story. It's absolutely amazing. Temple Hayes is my guest today. She has written an amazing book called When Did You Die? And I can't wait to find out more about what that title means and more about her book. Welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Douglas. It's my pleasure to be here.
There is a lot to find out about you. You're a woman who's multifaceted. You've had a lot of experiences in your life. Like most of us on the path, we've had difficulty, long suffering, and somewhere along the way, we have this wake-up call that puts us into a position of wanting to be of service, to help the world, change the world. So tell us a little bit about your background, because it's a story that needs to be told. What happened to you when you were a child? You had a lot of tragedy and difficulty. I was fascinating in reading your bio today. Tell us about you. Who is Tim?
Well, Douglas, I think one of the dichotomies for me was that at 5 years old, I was outdoors. I remember it like yesterday. I was climbing a tree like a child would do, and I got the message that I came here for a reason. It was very significant. I felt it very strongly throughout my being in whatever 5 year, 8 year old language that would be. So then where I live inside the house, the physical house, was extremely dysfunctional in that my mother was being accused of having an affair. They took her away from the home. And they did those barbaric shock treatments.
Oh, my God.
Right. And my mother returned weeks later to myself and my younger brother. And her memory was she didn't have much recall at all. And she went on to take doctor-prescribed drugs for about 45 years after that, if not longer.
Oh, my God.
I remember going to the doctor there in the small town and saying, look, I'm a recovered alcoholic. My mother's a drug addict. And he said, he's very Southern. He went, honey, why would you say that? I said, well, I think 38 years would be my first clue. What about you? So anyway, in that space of that, Douglas, environment, culture, innate, whatever, I was more drawn to women for probably safety, felt heard or whatever. And so my first relationship was with a girl that was 17 and I was 13. And so that being said, my father walked in on us. We were just being intimate and too close for his own measure. And my family, here we all go in the car and we go to the mental health clinic. Well, where I went in my mind is that I'm going to be sent away and they're going to fry my brain like they did my mother. And so for many years, I lived in like, I call it the silent witness protection program, that I was very quiet about anything with me. I would get a trophy, then I'd drink a lot. And I remember after the family found out, the looking good family, because the Hayes were about looking good. And I remember the day walking in for a Thanksgiving dinner and everybody looked at me different.
Oh gosh.
Nobody looked at me the same way. So I, from that day, abandoned myself and turned on myself for about 15 years.
Well, you know, as somebody, as a counselor and what I do for 50 odd years now, you're, family was in the deep south. We should establish that. Bible belt. Everybody worrying about what everybody else is thinking. Meanwhile, your father was abusive. Your mother was mentally assassinated. Those shock treatments robbed her of her mind, her life. And I'm sure as a young little girl looking on at this tragedy, and I read in your bio that your pets were destroyed and run over, and then your grandfather ran you over with a vehicle, and
yes,
it's a wonder you made it till 13. Okay. It's a wonder. And then of course I think, you know, in some sort of way you're looking for love, and somebody came into your life, a little older girl or young lady. And it was natural, as far as I could see, that here you are in a cocoon of fear all of your life, your young life. I mean, most people would have done worse things than they would have not wanted to continue in their life, and they would have become a statistic. But you survived somehow. So in that, in reading your bio and reading and seeing you today, there are a lot of people, we have an international audience, there are a lot of people around the world who have hardship and difficulties. What was that spiritual quality, or what was that, you had that knowledge that you came into the world for a special place? I would interject, you parachuted into this family. You had nothing in common with them. Mm-hmm. And I see that as one of the key things, Temple. Interesting name you have, by the way. That you, when you parachuted into a family, you became a way shower for the family. You had to arrive here in these circumstances to do what you had to do. And this seems to be a common thing, that when somebody comes into a family, you don't fit in. There's a wisdom as a child that you know this. But where is that point? How did you console yourself when you're crying yourself to sleep? How did you watch out for the boogeyman that was always watching you and gazing at you, and then the family rejecting you? You know, the old saying, a prophet is never honored by their own family and in their own country. And I kind of think that fits with what you do now. But how did you do that?
Well, at the time, I could not ever forget that what I was told when I was five. So no matter what was going on in the darkest of times and the craziest of times, I kept remembering that I was here for a reason. And even though I would be carted off every week to the Southern Baptist Church and hearing how unworthy I was along with everybody else, and we're going to hell, and, you know, all that programming, constant programming, I felt something different. And though I didn't talk about it, I, you know, and I saw what that level of religiosity would do, because I did talk to my grandmother, who was a matriarch in the family, of course, and in the Baptist church. And my grandfather, John Temple, to this day has a building named after him. I did attempt to tell them. And she told me what I saw isn't what I saw. So it's kind of like, well, what would fit best with that conversation? Oh, alcohol. What I saw isn't what I saw. And then I would try to tell the police officer that when he'd pull me over, like my grandmother said, what you saw isn't what you saw.
Wow. But, well, we haven't got to that part yet, but you did have, shall we say, a little overindulgence in alcohol.
You think?
And,
yes.
And you were driving your car occasionally while you were happy. And you had the opportunity to meet all these wonderful police officers along the way. So,
oh, my gosh.
You survived, though, right? You survived.
Totally, and I'm happy to say that those around me did. But, you know, the first time I was pulled over by a police officer.
Did he put the handcuffs on you?
Yeah, but he wasn't initially. Now, if they had stopped me as I was, then, I mean, they wouldn't even talk to you. They'd just cart you to the jailhouse. But this was before we got into, you know, Mothers Against Drinking, which is so necessary, or driving under the influence. We didn't really have much of that going on then.
Okay.
But when he pulled me over, all he was wanting to do was tell me that my lights weren't on. Metaphysically, right? Your lights aren't on, ma'am. You don't have your lights on. You're not living your light. I mean, that was the point of the story, the deeper part. But I went, what do you mean? What you see isn't what you see. And I argued with him. So then I got to be cuffed and carted to the jailhouse. I was arrested twice. I tell people I'm the one that gave the idea of the off-road terrain vehicles. I just don't get commissions for it.
Well, listen, you know, again, those are pretty scary things.
Mm-hmm,
and,
they are.
And so what? How did you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, so to speak, and get to be the person you are today? You're a leader, a counselor, you're a sought-after speaker, you have books. How did you get from that dark space? And I think that was an angel that spoke to you from my world. When you were a child, you had that angel talk to you, to give you those words that were indelible and stayed in your head all of your life, sort of like the life preserver that stopped you from drowning.
So I had a spiritual awakening. I had relocated from South Carolina to Fort Lauderdale, Florida to study ministry. And I had a spiritual awakening. And in the middle of the night, I awoke to the room was shaking. And it felt like Della Reese was coming in from Touched by an Angel. I mean, it was very measurable. And the voice said, if you want to live, don't ever drink again.
Wow.
And
wow.
That was story. So the next day when I would go to the grocery store, and in my particular store, it was aisle 13, I didn't go by there. And every day after that, I didn't go by there. And I haven't gone by there since, meaning I didn't purchase. Certainly I've gone by there, but I haven't had anything to drink. As a matter of fact, it's like in 6 days, I think, 5 days. It's been 36 years for me to be in my second birth phase of life. And I just never looked back. It was just a pivotal moment of my life. So we would say I woke up, I birthed again to who I was born to be. I knew the first time I took a drink and I became sick. I knew the first time I smoked a cigarette, I had full-blown throat problems. I mean, those were signs to say, don't go there. But
right.
I was a rebel and determined and kept trying to do it for many, many years. And I did the best I could with it. You know, now I laugh at it. You know, like people will talk about how can anybody commit suicide? I used to be one of those self-righteous people. How could anybody do that? But I was committing a slow one. So you learn that there's one time you're being born but there's many times in your lifetime when you're being created. And so problems in the family, issues around animals, being judged for sexuality, being judged by religiosity, you know, all those things created and imprinted along the way the work I would spend the rest of my life doing.
Well, in your book, When Did You Die? I think you talk about incrementally, slice by slice, people are dying and they don't even know it. And your book enlightens them on that. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, in our society, commercialization, pharmaceutical, we are, from day one, we're programmed. You know, there's a tribe outside of Phoenix that they don't teach their children the word why. It's
really?
Not even a word. It's not a word. I heard the guy personally speak to a class I was in. They don't teach the word why because they say it's used as victimhood. Why is this happening to me? Or why? Instead of being in the space of knowing or whatever the experience is. And when you think about it in our society, you know, and we're little and we ask for milk and we ask for food and we ask for survival things. And then we get a little able to articulate and we ask for things and we're told no. And we say, why? My parents say, because I told you so. You're going to that church because I told you so. I don't go, but you're going. You go. You ask the teacher, why do I have to do it like that? I don't think 2 + 2 = 4 because I told you so. Then you go, if you're in a small town and you're into religiosity, I'm the preacher and I told you so. My mother introduced me to her home church pastor as a minister. And he said, women aren't ministers. And my mom said, well, she is. And
yeah.
He said, well, they can't be because I told you so. And then people go to the doctor. I have a sniff. I have a thing because I'm telling you so. This is your story. I know better than you. So the voice of others becomes louder than the voice that we were born with, our inner voice. And so I learned over and over again to go further and deeper and hear the louder voice, which was mine, my own intuition, and to follow that journey and follow that space. I didn't say it was easy. But it was easier than being so programmed to be robotic, like so many people that I know. And when people become that, they do start dying every day. And by dying, I'm not addressing physical death. I'm addressing energetic death. I'm addressing the life force that is so powerful that we all have. And we are told that by a certain year of our life, that we're going to be, you know, things are going to hurt and ache and we're just going to be tired. And by the time we're dead, it's just really time to move on anyway, because we've been dead a long time. And that is not, in my mind, in the way that it is destined to work. When you go through a hardship, if you really go through it, and this is the expertise of your work, Douglas, you know this. When you really go through the shadow of your own work, you wind up having more energy than you had to start with. And that is natural. So like so many mystery schools, like so many master teachers have been on the planet to tell us, it's not that your life doesn't work. It's that you haven't learned with life. When you learn to work with the natural laws of life, you are thriving and totally alive.
Well, it's better to be that way than to endure a life of emotional, what can we call, purgatory, and to be a little bit of a rabble-rouser, tenacious little child saying, wait a minute, this is not right. It's somewhere innately in you, in your soul, you knew that there was something more, and you endured the hardship. You know, the way to the heavens above, the way to enlightenment, the way to come closer to God Almighty, the words long suffering are always like attached, either in brackets, hyphenated. It's always there as a suffix of some sort. And hearing you and listening to your story, which is a fascinating story, people should buy your book, When Did You Die? And also you have another book or two out,
Being a Difference Maker, yes.
Mm-hmm. Being a Difference Maker. I like the title. I can't read my notes. I scribble when I put things out here. So.
Quite all right. They can go to my website. It's easy enough.
Yeah. What is it?
Temple Hayes, Hayes, templehayes.com. And everything is on there.
Well, you have a very good website. You have a lot of information on there, a lot about your stories there. And by the way, I want to compliment you, Temple. You're very brave to put down all the things that happened to you. You're right out there. You're transparent. This is the truth. This is what happened to me. Other people with an ego or so might have, dumbed it down a little bit, but you're there, right there, telling the truth. And I'm sure that's got to encourage anybody who is lost, who is in a circumstance, a child, as somebody who's going through similar things right now, and people who have gone through it, they must be angry, or they must be depressed, or they must have some emotional illness, that when they find out about you and what you did, how you managed and how you became the success you are, that will encourage them. It will take them out of their darkness and put them into some light. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this with more from this amazing woman who is going to tell you her wonderful story. And you can find more about her on her website, templehayes.com. We'll be right back after this.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit douglasjamescottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with our guest, Temple Hayes, teaching you how to remain fearless when you face the unknown, how to expand your belief system regarding aging, energy, and inner power. In her latest book, When Did You Die?, Temple Hayes outlines 8 profound steps to stop dying and start waking up, with an associated workbook available to deepen the engagement with the 8 steps to living in the present. Temple Hayes, a global spiritual leader, author, and difference maker, bringing life and energy where they're lacking in hundreds of thousands of lives. Now, back to the Global Village Radio Show. We're not taking phone calls as we present this first pre-recorded segment of tonight's show. Here again is our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
So as we were talking before the break about your story and how forthright and truthful you've been, tell us how you made that leap to become the success you are. How did you incrementally, because it doesn't happen overnight, as we all know. It takes hard work. Mm-hmm. How did you manage?
You know, when I look at the entirety of my life, it's more about paying attention to what knocks on my door 3 times. And I have always, no matter what I feel, I've always been a metaphysical person. In other words, seeing beyond just the physical reality around me. And so paying attention. you know, to certain things or people I would be introduced to along the way. So if I, for example, over a course of a few months heard somebody talk about a good therapist, I would say, I need that number. I need to go there. That's what I need to do. So that, I think, is a key point that, that you made, is that the fact of we develop ourselves by the willingness to do the work. I mean, we might be employed by many people throughout our lifetimes, but how many times do we employ ourselves? We are the most important, right? And how we cope, how we handle things. And if the intention and the outcome is when I walk through this, my father dying, losing a loved one, the dog dying by an accident or whatever it is, having people steal from me, whatever it is, if that's our intention is over here and that's the outcome, is that I am going to be thriving. I'm going to believe in people again. I'm going to believe in life again as it is designed to be life. The more you love, the harder you hurt, all those things. We're not going to replace being a human being. But if that's where my end place is, as Stephen Covey would say, keeping the end in mind, then I'm doing the work. And I want to do the work because I do want to live. I want to live to be 150. I want to break all these silly, pathetic stories we tell ourselves about aging. We definitely age, but we don't have to grow old. So you create within your own being. I created within my own being anchors that I go back to on a cloudy day. To me, long-term suffering, when somebody talks about long-term suffering, and I'm not talking about physical diseases and those kind of things. I'm talking about the psychology of our essence, our mentalizing, our adrenals, our system that blocks our solar plexus of passion. It's because we haven't done the work. You know, if you just toked, this was painful, that was painful, oh, that was painful, oh, that was painful, and you numb because you don't want to feel it, or you deny your ability to do the work and go into the dark, into the deep, into the tears. Many a time, I mean, I just did that, Douglas, about a month ago. I just took a time out. You know, as kids, we understood, let's take a time out. I just took a time out. My mother had died somewhat unexpectedly in January, and wow. I just kept toting all this sadness, and I had let go of a lot of relationships because I had relocated across the entire United States, not a small move, and I just had some layers of grief that I had to deal with, and so I just said, not available, phone is off, see you later, I'll be back, but I really had to do that, and we need to do those things, and not, because avoidance makes it bigger, and then we attract other situations. It's like Velcro. It's like, so then we have other situations, and the next thing you know, we're attacking the person in the highway just because they blew the horn to say hello. What are you doing? You know, it's there, and we want to address it.
That's a good point. People have been hurt previously, and so they, if I could say, they project what's going on in the moment of what happened to them in the past. And so that anger and frustration, whatever, is boiling up. I think it's going across the entire country. Mm-hmm. People are so angry. The Dalai Lama and other spiritual leaders some time ago had a conference on why are people so angry? Mm-hmm. That's a question that I think everybody should ask. And then the reverse is try to find out, well, if I'm angry, what is causing me to be angry? And why am I projecting this on somebody else? Perhaps. But the point is, you have lots of reasons to be angry, to be hurt, to be mean, to be mean-spirited, to be whatever, based on all that tragedy that you, that happened in a dysfunctional family with all the difficulties that you've recounted. But you didn't.
I refuse to. I refuse to blame repeatedly people, because when I blame, a little bumper sticker, when I blame, I do not claim. I teach people, you know, if you're still blaming your parents after 30 years and you're 30 years old,
no fair.
But one of the things you're talking about of why in current culture people are so angry is because they surrendered to being told what to do. They surrendered to politicians telling them what to think and what to do, and it's not natural. You know, we can say it's okay now. People can use profanity. People can do this. People can hate. People can not like another party. People can do this. People can do that. It doesn't matter that how it's promoted in our society. It's
make
not
it right.
correct. It's so. Incorrect information. And people surrendered to it. And if they hadn't already surrendered to it, they surrendered to it during the COVID era of tell me what to do. Tell me how fast. Tell me where I need to go. Tell me what to do because, you know, I don't want to die. We're all going to die, okay? But we all allowed ourselves to be herded, to be told, this is the way you go. And a lot of individuation was lost during that time. Even some great leaders and orators and teachers and authors and podcasters and all that joined the, oh, this is the way it works. You just tell people what to do and they go do it. But we're not here to create that level in our humanity. We're here to teach people the only answer that you'll ever have is the answer that your voice tells you what to do. No one else. You know, if you go along with someone else because their voice is telling you what to do and it feels right and your voice agrees, that's different. That's why your show is so valuable. Because you're teaching people how to think. But if you're doing it because you turn in to TV or your iPhone and it tells you, you know, with half the population on the planet now having a phone, even in impoverished countries, they have phones and they're being told what to do. We must have a revolution. We must have people realizing I got to stop being told what to do unless it innately fits for me. And that's was the defining moment in my life is that coming out of the closet of my own understanding of not needing to be liked by others. People will say to me, I had somebody ask me 2 days ago, you know, Temple, in my work and in the film industry, I've had people take things away from me. I've had people steal from me. I've had people rob from me. And I don't know how you do it. You know, I've seen your book. I don't know how you always show up like ready, willing, and open and an open heart. How can you do it? And I said, it's very simple. I am unwilling to hurt, abandon, or rob myself. Somebody else may have done it. Somebody else may have said it. It might have happened, but I will not ever betray myself. I did that one time for a very long time, and I will not give in to that ever again. I was created by the divine, and that's where I'm sticking with that story. And I approve this message because I'm not going to do to myself what others may have perceived that they got to do. And especially in public life, you know, you have people making up stories about you all the time. So I won't surrender to that because I know my story.
Well said. People can, you can't control your reputation. Because
no.
Other people assassinate it, but you can control your character. And everybody should really pay attention. Come back and listen to this podcast again over and over because the words you're using are easy.
Mm-hmm.
They're understandable and you're being very honest and straightforward, but you're giving people those nuggets that they can apply easily. The one thing is tenacity. As you said, I'm not going to let other people harm me. I'm not going to let people take my peace or my who you are away from you. They cannot, actually. I think you used the word surrender before. People surrender. They give up. And to me, that's the greatest crime. Wake up. You know, wake up.
Wake up. That's right. Wake up.
When you had that, let's start a revolution. Okay, it's the wake up revolution here.
Let's go, Douglas. Let's Absolutely. Sign up. I'll meet you at the curb.
And we'll have the limo pulled up with everybody else. There we go.
There you go.
I think that's showbiz talk, right? I'll send the car. You know.
I have had the pleasure of training many a person to be either a prayer partner, spiritual leader, teacher, and go out in the field. And I have a nonprofit 501c3 called Global Peace Workers. All this is on the website. But right now I'm having so much joy and fun because we are putting goats and chickens into a tribe outside of Nairobi where they were fading away. Right. As the leader told me there that had contacted me, they were giving up on anything or anyone listening or hearing their prayers. So that being said, in my working with people to train them as a difference maker, in that space, many of them have said, well, I'll join you, Temple, when I don't have any problems. And I always say, well, see you in the afterlife.
Yeah.
See you in the afterlife, because if you wait so you don't have any problems, life is problematic. The secret of life is not having problems. The secret of life is how you walk in them, with them, through them, and on the other side of them. And then you use the word compassion, which is come, pass it on. So my story, my sacred story, through the events and through the things in my life, I recognize the people that are like me, that have had religiosity dupe on them. I can see somebody drinking a mile away. I don't have gaydar. I never have had that. but I can really see people and understand the depth of what it's like to feel that you were not created in this holy way. But one of the points I want to make, Douglas, in the evolution of my life story, my narrative, as they say now, is that in the beginning at 5, I was told I was whole and I was holy, right? Shamanic people live in that holy infinity. That's how they see the energy of healing, et cetera. But I went through this journey of being broken. Well, you know, Temple, she's broken. You know, she's shady. You know, she's broken. My teacher said I was never going to amount to anything because I talk too much. She's shady. She's too much. She's too this. She's too that. There came a time, and this is important for people to anchor in. You are not broken. You never have been broken. So when we address, instead of what's wrong with us, what's right with us, we build upon that. And that is life-altering when you can do that. It's like the young man said to me, don't you find it hard being sober, especially now? And I said, young man, you want me to tell you what hard is? Hard is when I don't remember where my car is. Hard is I can't tell the officer my name. Hard is they don't know where to find me. I'm trying to reach them, but my car's on the side of the road, maybe like 11, 12 times. Hard is calling somebody and being pretentious because I don't remember the night before. That's hard. Not drinking, it's a walk in the park. I don't like apologizing for myself. I don't mind apologizing for wrongdoing, but I don't like apologizing for being me. And the 15 years that I drank, I apologize for being me a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, throughout life, you come to these wisdoms of life,
mm-hmm.
events in life. And remember, you have knowledge, then you have experience, and together that makes wisdom. So the knowledge you had, the experience you've had, you become wise about how not to leave your car in a ditch and how not to talk to policemen when you don't want to, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole idea is that that's the truth. That's your way. That's how you got to be who you are. And that's why you're a great teacher. You cannot not be a good teacher without having such life-changing, altering circumstances, in my opinion, and I guess you agree, that if you go through these experiences and you do not give up on yourself or life, but you keep going, you'll find your way to that forest. You'll leave that that darkness behind, because you didn't cause this. This was imposed upon a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
That was my understanding of evil means the absence of love. Mm-hmm. So this absence of love was imposed upon you. Your poor mother suffered probably more than you or anybody else knows, because she was looking out for you and trying to be the standard, whatever that was, trying to fit in the community. So when I see this imposition on people, this is evil, the absence of love, in my opinion. And I've had difficulties in my life the same, and many of the people I've interviewed have had the same sorts of circumstances in their life that you're recounting. But there's something inside of you that's courageous. Mm-hmm. There's a warrior. There's a little girl in there saying, this is not right. And then you've had messages from angels or the divine. You had this enormous room full of energy, a blessing, some sort of communication with the divine. And as you explored your metaphysical intuitive abilities, I guess you've had dreams, you've had visitations from, I suspect, higher, more evolved beings. And probably you've been a little aware of the future, your future, and where the world needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that very strongly.
Yeah.
To encourage you to go where you are going. So along the way of difficulty, that, tell me if you agree, when you start to feel lonely and isolated and unloved, you contact that divine love inside. It doesn't take your problems away, as you've said. It just gives you the hope to look for the opportunities. And I'm sure there's people who come along in your life at certain times that have lifted you out of some circumstance or given you some word or have supported you somehow.
Absolutely. And in reference to one of your statements earlier, I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. And I heard some sound bites in there myself, like, ooh, want to write that one down.
Please feel free. Go ahead.
That being said, I was fortunate. I'll do this as quick a bullet point as I can do it. But at 38 years old, so I was coming up on almost 11 years sobriety, and I had been in therapy and da-da-da, leading churches and those kind of things, and moving along pretty good. I was externally pretty polished. You know, I had the language. I had the training. And yet inside, what I realized, Douglas, is there was a hole. And I started becoming aware, inner listening, that I had a hole. Like I felt like I was dying, not physical dying, but dying. And so I called forth Great Spirit and said, show me the way. So the quick of the story is I went to help a woman whose husband had dropped dead at 42. And it had been a few weeks after he had died. And I went to ask her if there's anything I could do. And I said, this is odd. You're not gray. You know, the absence of life hasn't bestowed itself upon you. What's your secret? You know? And she said, well, I saw a shaman. I saw a healer. And the moment she said that, I went, that's in my future. But the me, but the me I would have always been before, give me the number, give me the name. I'm doing it. I'm taking care of it. I'm making it happen. You know? But I didn't. I went, if this is right, I'll know. Fast track a few months. Somebody came as a guest speaker to a community I had. They were a shaman. They were trained. I called her up on the way to her house. I got the message. She's to be your teacher. On the way over, she got the message. She's the reason that you moved from Canada. This is your protege. I studied with her for 10 years. That being said, I was trained and told how to think and what to be, like so many people in our society. And I was taught you know, good things are happening to you. God loves you. Good things aren't happening to you. Well, you're done. You know, love you not. Oh, didn't love me today. Don't love me tomorrow. I went on a journey. I went on a spiritual journey, and I asked, what do I need to know about my life? What do I need to know about my connection with the divine? And in this visual, I was taken up on a hill. They had branding iron like that of cattle. I don't like that either, but that's what they do. And they had the branding iron. And in this visual, Douglas, they took the palms of my hand, and they branded a heart. And the message was, you are always loved. Being loved is never on the table. You are always loved. Fast track. Almost 14 years later, I'm in Peru. I'm in a shaman store, and I have a walking stick that's a hand. And lo and behold, if you want me to, I'll walk over to the other side of the room and get it. There's a heart in the palm of this wood piece that I just had to have, because that was the external part of my life experience. So whatever, however anyone holds that, it's that regardless of what is happening, I am the faculty of love. It doesn't mean I love sometimes what is happening. I didn't say that. I'm not cuckoo, not la, 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 sing, sing, joy, joy. No, it's not fake. Authenticity is that the core of your being is that you are the presence and power of love that is unwavering. We are the ones that keep criticizing and mentalizing, oh, I'm loved today because I got a new boyfriend. I'm not loved tomorrow because I'm sad. No.
Well, listen, hold it right there. We'll take a short break while you go over to the other room, other side of the room. We'll be right back after this.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. We'll be back in just a few moments. The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection. Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials. Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with our guest, Temple Hayes, teaching you how to remain fearless when you face the unknown, how to expand your belief system regarding aging, energy, and inner power. In her latest book, When Did You Die?, Temple Hayes outlines 8 profound steps to stop dying and start waking up, with an associated workbook available to deepen the engagement with the 8 steps to living in the present. Temple Hayes, a global spiritual leader, author, and difference maker, bringing life and energy where they're lacking in hundreds of thousands of lives. Now, back to the Global Village Radio Show. We're not taking phone calls as we present this first pre-recorded segment of tonight's show. Here again is our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, just before the break, you told me this amazing story about this shaman having a heart in the palm of your hand, And then you went to another shaman or a place in Peru and you found a walking stick. Show us what you found.
Yeah, that was like 13, 14 years later. So with it being wood, I
just
don't...
Just turn it a little so the light catches it.
Okay,
there.
Okay, there you go. So there's the heart.
Wow.
On the hand.
In the palm of the hand.
With a Celtic cross, which I studied Celtic shamanism. It's like my saying is, you can't make this stuff up. It's just so good. It's just so good. But you really defined it, Douglas, because you said it's about being awake. It's about paying attention, you know, and these gifts come to all of us all the time. And it's just being present to them.
Well, when you said, I picked up on it, when you looked at this person who was grieving and you said, I don't see the gray in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I see lights and colors around people too. So you're really looking at this person's aura or energy
yes.
field around. And obviously you're very adept at doing that. Tell us more about your intuitive abilities, if you care to, when you see people. Do you see...
That's funny. I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that.
Well, where do you think I'm getting the questions from?
Because I want to, I love that we have this great connection. It's really,
I admire you.
I feel it in my heart. I admire you. That said, I want people to understand that if you want to develop a strong body, a physical body, you don't go to the gym right away and lift 150 pounds. You do things incrementally. You build up. You build up the first week. You even feel a little like, I don't feel better. I feel worse.
Yeah.
Then you have breakthroughs. Trust is a muscle. It's an internal muscle. And so you build up to it. And so you learn to listen. Like you listen to... don't go down that freeway today. Don't. And you hear your voice, not all the other chatter, you know, not the Beatles and all the other, you know, songs and Barry Manilow going through your head. You know,
voice, baby.
You're hearing you. You're hearing your voice that remains the same in your life. And so you didn't go down that freeway. And the next day you happen to read that there was an accident there for which you could have been in. But you listen. So you went, oh, muscles being established. And so you're into a practice. This is what life is. It's a practice. And you're learning all the time. But you have to test it. You know, you have to be willing to put yourself out there and use it. And so you develop this muscle. I was told in 2021, that I was to pack up my life and relocate across the United States. I had 8 people tell me in 6 weeks. I was very comfortable. I had a home across from the beach. My mom lived down the street. I had a little goddaughter, still do. My mother has since then passed, as I said, and a wonderful, comfortable life. Community, hangout, our lives were just great. And I get the message, you're leaving and you're going.
You left out, yeah. That's the way the spiritual roles are. Everybody who gets an awakening, it's now you work for the Godfather.
It is. And if you don't listen, you have pain. And it really saddens me sometimes when people don't listen and then they want to blame something or someone else. When you know you were told, don't go there, you know, don't do that. My father, you'll love this story. My father's been... gone a long time, 20 something years. But back in the day before your phones would automatically change or your computers on the time change, every time it would give me a reason to call him and I'd go, Dad, does the clock go forward or backwards? I don't remember. And he'd tell me, you know, what it was. And then I would question him. And he would say, you know, I don't understand why you call me because you don't believe what I tell you. And that's the way we are in our design. If we ask the angels or archetype or creator, whatever you call it, it doesn't really matter what you call it. What matters is how you believe about it. When you ask for answers and you get them, you want to listen because it's very important that you do so.
Well, somebody just put their shadow across your face there. There they're gone. Okay. So they're coming back again. Tell them to stop walking back and forth. There we go.
It's angels, I guess. There's an angel shadow here.
Okay,
you saw his shadow?
Yeah, I did. So I'll take it as that. But we have just a few more minutes left in the interview. How can people get a hold of you to buy your books, of course, at your templehaze.com website? And then you mentioned that you counsel people and I guess you see people. Is that like, well, first of all, explain how people can get a hold of you and how can help them.
You know, everything is there on the website, templehaze.com. If they have an interest in the book, they can even do a downloadable, a free chapter right there. They can start delving into it. And the other thing is along the way, it's about work with me or as a mentor. You can get in touch with me that way and I can connect with someone and see if we are a good fit. You know,
okay.
For me, that's more important than anything. Are we a good fit? So that's part of that is that space of that. So in that energy, that's right there. They can fill it out. And then anyone, as far as interviewing or whatever, goes through my publicist, Dia Chandra Hunter, and all that's on the website as well.
No, we're not going to let you go anywhere. We're going to keep interviewing you every week.
Well, hey, I love to be on your show more often because we just barely tap the surface of so many things that can be helpful to people, but it's not just conceptual learning. It's about doing different things and doing different exercises that you can see your life in a different way because so much of it is learning to reframe your life instead of setting everything right, which causes pain and anger and self-righteousness. Learn to see it right and see your part in it, you know?
Well, today, in all the things you've said, people can take heart that they don't need to endure their life, that they have choice.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of rabble-rousing doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
A little bit of questioning people who say things to you, including your faith, you have to question, what is an angel? What is a spiritual experience? How can I get to God Almighty? How can I have a personal relationship with God? And these things are okay to ask. But listening to your story, it's been a remarkable journey. You've got miles to go before you sleep, as they say. And you're a light worker for sure. And you're helping people all over the world. And definitely we'll have you back here on the Global Village podcast and live stream real soon. Because again, we just scratched the surface. It's templehaze.com, author and difference maker. And the name of the book or books are, go ahead again, and your website again.
I would say my most notable book is When Did You Die? And it's 8 Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up. And my other book is Being a Difference Maker and Living Life Out Loud. And, of course, I have another book of How to Speak Unity and a few others. I have a little children's book about life rights, about how we need to get back to honoring and respecting life and all living things. And that's my nonprofit work, Global Peace Workers.
It's been a pleasure. I admire courage above all things. And you are definitely a light worker. You're the real deal. You're the genuine article. Looking back and forward, you're not afraid to tell your life path, as most people who are enlightened are. So again, my friends, please go to templehaze.com and find out more about this amazing woman, author, global spiritual leader, and difference maker. So, my good friend, I've got to ask you the question, how did you get your first name, Temple? It's an unusual, amazing name. I really like it. How did you get that name?
Thank you, Douglas. Temple was my grandfather's middle name. His name was John Temple Hayes, and I love it because I get to carry my grandfather with me.
Well, I see it as a play on words. Temple, meaning you.
Yeah, I know.
Wrote the temple. So.
I understand that.
I'm sure people have said lots of things about that over the years. So, but I just, in the most complimentary way, I wanted to say that. So I'll say until next time, my friends, you're listening to the Global Village podcast. My guest.
One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions, the New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books, Pole Shift, Coastal and Inland Changes, Volcanoes and Earthquakes, Rising Temperatures, Specific Landmass Changes, Healing Our Emotional Health During These Changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Hi, I hope you enjoyed tonight's pre-recorded show. This was broadcast on the Douglas James Cottrell Zoom show. I'm calling it the Zoom show because it was an audio-video show. You can go there and on the Douglas James Cottrell show on my YouTube channel, and you will see Dr. Temple Hayes in the totality of the interview. She was a wonderful person to interview, as you have listened to this lovely ladies speak. There was a lot of information, a lot of history in her past, and she very much impressed me as I seemed to go on in the interview, saying just how courageous she was. She moves forward in the world, as you listen to the interview, in a lot of different ways. But most importantly, she's there attempting to make a difference. She is embarked on this path the same as we all are. She's a motivational speaker, and she has taken her cause to many companies like Procter & Gamble, Washington Mutual, State Farm Insurance, and on and on. So it was a delight to have her on the Zoom show and to do an interview. And tonight here on the Global Village radio show. Also, we have the Wake Up podcast, and I believe her interview is there. You can find my podcast called Wake Up
on all the normal podcast platforms, and you can listen to the interview with herself and other very amazing and enlightening guests. This whole movement that we're doing or taking now along with our show is, you know, the purpose of my life, basically. You know, we are attempting to come to the understanding of what human consciousness is. And as we continue to explore it, yes, the metaphysical aspects are there, but, you know, you, my friends, are on a personal journey towards personal growth. Each moment is a new opportunity for discovery. So as we delve into looking at compelling topics and we invite amazing people to come to our show and to be interviewed, the benefit is for yourself. For those interested in going beyond listening, of course, my website also offers a selection of books and an opportunity to contribute. And I do, there is a PayPal button on my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. So if you could contribute a few dollars to the cost of these shows and the production, I would greatly appreciate it. And remember, when you're out there on YouTube and you're watching the shows or you're on the podcast, please don't forget to give us a star or give us a heart or give us a thumbs up and help us to get the word out, so to speak. I know several of you are, I've been watching here in the queue. People are standing by waiting to ask questions. And because we've had a little bit of problem with Blog Talk, normally Paul would take the calls and interview you in the green room. But if Paul's all right with you, I'm going to click on this first person with their hand up in the queue, and we'll see if that's working. I see your mic's come on. Is everything okay here, Paul?
There are no emergencies on my end, Douglas.
Okay. Well, this is good. It's working tonight. I think the full moon, it's coming to up to October, and many things are going to happen in October. What is there, like the NFL and the CFL football, Grey Cup's coming up, the World Series is coming up, and here we are with wonderful guests. We're making home runs here tonight. So let's press the luck and see if these buttons on our wonderful, amazing platform of Blog Talk are working tonight. Who's first up?
It's the 773 area code, Douglas.
Hello. Well, apparently we have a puppy dog. That sounds. I wonder if that's Carol.
It might
Hello,
be.
You're on the air.
We'll move on down to the 917 area code.
Okay.
You are on the air.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Well, we gave you one example, which was pretty direct, which is, okay, a bomb went off.
Well, Douglas, I guess we don't want to chime in on personal conversations.
Yes. I people are listening with the phone and they're going, you know, let's have that is that other 773 number here.
Hello, you're on the air, 773 with a 750 exchange. How are you?
Hi, yeah, it's me. I'm just listening. It's a good show.
Great.
That's great. May I ask where are you and what? Well, don't ask your first name, but where in the country are you?
Chicago.
Okay, I recognize your voice. I know you're a dedicated fan, and we are very much appreciative of you chiming in all the time. Don't forget to look on the Wake Up and the Douglas James Gontro Show on YouTube. We have many more guests coming up who are similar to tonight's show. But thank you. We'll let you go, and we'll go back to wherever we're going to go next. Paul. Okay, take care. This is great. The buttons are working tonight, Paul. You know, the fortune's with us.
Well, and I was just about to tell everybody to just let them know that we're looking ahead. You know, a new platform will be in our future, and we're working in that direction, so mm-hmm. we won't have this problem.
We'll
go back to the 773 area code, 521 exchange. Hello, you're on the air. Are you calling to talk to Dr. Douglas?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, Carol.
Yes.
We had you on the mic a minute ago, but I guess you weren't quite there yet, I believe. What do you think of this interview with Dr. Temple Hayes tonight?
Yeah, I'd like to ask her what is the key to happiness? What is her take on this? What is the key to happiness?
Okay, well, she's not here live right now. It was a pre-recorded show
on
Zoom. But I guess I could answer that a little bit for her because I got along very well with her. And we've had many other such exciting people on the Zoom interviews that are going to be posted very shortly. The key for her in her book was When Did You Die? And that was a fascinating title for a book because in her story, in her life path, in answering her question, what's the key to happiness? The first thing is to realize when in your life did you start living your life at the direction of other people? When did you lose your enthusiasm for life? When did all of a sudden you realize you did not have a life, that you were just going through the motions and you were being directed by other people and you were living up to other people's rules or values or opinions? And in fact, you withered away and you died. You, the person, became no more. You became almost like a robot or a zombie, even if I can go that far. And I thought that was a fascinating observation. Now, this woman has lived a lot of difficulties. She came out of the closet. That was in a Bible belt area of the country, and that was very difficult. Her father was a minister, and her grandfather had influence over her, and on and on and on, and her mother passed away early. So the whole thing is somewhere in that confusion, that darkness, she all of a sudden realized that she wasn't living her life. And that rebellious nature that we all have when we get compressed like a spring pushing down, there is at some point a rebound, and that happened to her. And she basically found out who she was, and I think she was in the service as well for a while in the either the Home Guard or the Reserve. So she had a lot of experiences that I think would sort of toughen her up a little bit or let her stand on her own two feet. A lot of discipline, self-discipline I'm talking about. And then the realization that she wasn't living her life herself. She was at the behest of other people. She was doing things, maybe call it people-pleasing, and she was going in directions that she thought were acceptable by other people's standard. Now, these are my words, everybody. You've heard the interview just a little while ago, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm kind of remembering the tone of the interview. I was deeply impressed when she had that vision and then later on went to a shaman, and then later on went someplace, and there was this heart that she was being branded with in her hand from the divine, a mystical experience of huge value, huge importance. And then later on going and finding a cane with that exact same Celtic cross and the heart that, as you put your hand on the cane, if you will, it's in your hand. It's kind of, and if you hang on to a cane long enough, and I've had that experience, that impression of the cane, it's up in the palm of your hand, good, bad, or ugly, it's there. And for that that encouragement, that divine wisdom, when she became self-aware, when she was started to look within and started seeking, that was the height of a higher level of consciousness, which is what we're doing here on the show all the time, and which you, Carol, always have this great wit to find out and inquire and ask people those really penetrating questions. You're a very good interviewer on your own right. And to ask that question tonight, and me reflecting on Dr. Temple Hayes' as a motivational speaker and an author, When Did You Die? And she has several other books, I think she mentioned there towards the end of it. You can go to her website, templehaze.com, everybody. You probably heard that earlier. And you can find out more about this amazing woman. But the idea was, when she came to that point, that she was dead inside, that she had no enthusiasm for life. There was no desire. There was just going through the motions. That was the wake-up call. That was the key to success. The first step, if you will, the about face. What do you think?
Yeah, I was listening to her. Yeah. But, yeah, I just wanted to, I guess she, you know, just went inside and found herself. And, you know, I guess that's the key. But I was talking to Stephen Schwartz. He is a remote viewer and a statistical surveyor, I would guess. So what he does, he takes these surveys of maybe 20,000 people, and he comes up with, he'll ask them, what do you think is going to happen in the year 2050? And they tell him, and he takes their answers, and he evaluates them and comes up with some answers in the future. And he said one of the things about the electrical cars would be that the roads would be electrical. The roads would be electrical. And the tires, you know, would get the electricity from the road.
Well,
so
I'm going to modify that a bit, Carol. Electricity doesn't go through rubber. But I'm going to modify that and say he's got an image, and he's done what is called a herd instinct. He's done a group sort of flavor of something in the future. And I've had future visions of that as well. Yes, we're not going to have the same mode of operation of transportation that we have. But from what he's looking at, it's not the roads are going to be with some electricity. They're going to be through magnetic, anti-magnetic, electromagnetic means that the vehicles will not hover, but they'll float across the ground. It's sort of like when an airplane comes in, it's called the ground effect. The wings are pushing the air down in order to give it lift to go up. And when the airplane comes down close to the ground, a cushion of air develops under the wing. And airplanes, if they can maintain the proper pitch, attitude, and speed, can actually float down the runway on purpose, or more exactly, more often not. It's called the ground effect, and they go, get this plane on the ground. Come on, we don't want to keep flying, you know, on this cushion of air. But that's a similar way to understand. I'm not trying to correct him or say he's wrong or anybody, any means. I'm thinking I'm modifying the vision that as he's had this general overview, I've had a more specific overview of the future. We will not have automobiles that are going to be gas burners, that's for sure. And so I think instead of electricity, he's looking at sort of a ground effect or a magnetic, anti-magnetic repulsion, if you will, flotation. Not yet there. And there's things out there right now that are toys that people are experimenting about, magnets pushing away from each other and copper coils and magnetic and grounding and things like that. It's coming back. It was here back in the turn of the 1900s when there were all kinds of experiments. There was even back then a patent was established for solar panels, but all that got hushed up back then, 1902 or 3 or 4. But that's coming back now. So to bring that up, the future is going to be somewhat greatly different, and electric cars are the precursor to, let's call them magnetic cars. That's not really what they're going to be, but electromagnetic cars. And they're going to float. They're going to go along in a controlled way, like an airplane going down the runway with a cushion of air under its wings, still going in the same controlled direction. That's what cars are going to be like, or something very similar to that.
What he was saying, he didn't necessarily say that the car, the tires would be rubber. He said that the tires would be able to
conduct
absorb the electricity and run it. I guess he, you know, he may be having a precursor to what you're seeing. It may be like, because what he's done is he's found some archaeological findings with this method that he has. So I'm going to talk to him again, because I thought we were taping and we weren't. But I'm going to talk to him again. He's an interesting. He's been, and that's what I want you to consider, having him on your show.
We consider everybody. Tell him to get his agent to send us a press kit, and we'd love to have him on. When you were talking there just a moment ago, I was thinking, you know, magnets come in donut shapes now. They're not in the U shape like they used to be, or bars. They come in round circles. I wonder if that's what he was looking at. Wow.
Because I mean, he is an absolute wonder, Mr. Cottrell. He's an absolute wonder. I'm telling you, he's something else.
Okay.
He reminds me of you. He really does.
Well, you just tell him to contact us. My email address is info@douglasjamescottrell.com. It's on the website, it's on the show here. Mm-hmm.
Don't you contact them or
no? No, it works the other way around. We've got the gold. they have to knock on our door.
I guess I could barely get him, but he's so busy. I don't know. I can ask him to do it, but I don't know. But he is an interesting human being. I'm telling you, you got to meet him.
You don't have to sell him on the air. I'm giving you lots of room to give him lots of plugs, so no worries. But if he's interested, he can send an email. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Igor Swan. When he's a remote viewer, what in the holy heavens did he see when he viewed the moon? Now, he was one of the people that
Carol. I know you have curiosity, but I make it a rule as a professional courtesy. I never talk about other people's work. I don't talk about them because I don't know them. They can talk for themselves.
Okay, so what did you see when you viewed the moon?
I saw the man in the moon eating some cheese, of course.
Oh, no, that's not what you saw. No, I don't believe that.
Well, that's a show for another day, Carol. We got about 8 minutes left in the show here, so I'm not sure if we have any more callers, but... you know, you have a fascinating way of interviewing. Getting back to Dr. Hayes, what was the most important thing she said to you? That not directly, but the most important thing she said in this interview that felt was the most. Well, yeah, repeat myself. What was the most important thing you felt she said?
She was a conglomerate of everybody she met. And I think that despite that the odds were against her, or despite the odds that she, despite what happened to her, it made her the person that she is. She's triumphant.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. That was a good observation. She said that, you know, we are influenced by many people, and we have these life experiences that make us who we are. And so we can't go back and change anything, good, bad, or ugly, nor should we attempt to. We can move forward now, but inside you have to become alive, have to have desires, goals, determination, and then do not live up to other people's expectations, because that's their expectations. It's not yours. Most people in the world want you to fail. They don't want you to succeed. Most people. A few people who have come up the hard way, who have succeeded, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to tell you their life story, encouraging people who have hard times and difficult times, like Dr. Temple Hayes, and they're willing and they're brave enough to lay out their life in front of everybody and take the heat take the criticism, take the accolades, take the congratulations. It's a difficult thing to lay out in a naked way your life and all the things that happened to you. But a true believer, as she is a spiritual person, a true believer knows that the truth is the truth is the truth. And whatever it was, however it happened, cannot be changed. But at some moment, if you can take inspiration from someone who overcame difficulty, challenges, etc., and made it, then you too can make it. And that's where those small amount of people, say 25% of the people for just an arbitrary number, want people to succeed. Because it's better to help everybody to succeed than it is to be jealous of people, to tell people they can't do things, and you think you are trying to be better than the rest of the family, or you believe something that your family has believed for generations, which was wrong, but they believed it for generations, or so they said so. And that was the passing on of that death, that living up to some imaginary authority, some artificial self-righteous practices or patterning or beliefs that don't relate to a person, there's a conflict, and that inner conflict gives up after a while, especially if you're a child and you get beat over the head all the time that you're useless or you're stupid or that you can't do things, or, you know, when you come up with enthusiastic with something and your parents or grandparents criticize you for it. You know, we've all had those experiences. A little girl comes running in the house with a toad in her hand. She says, "Look, Mommy, look what I found. Oh, gosh, get that out of your hand. Slap, slap. How dare you bring that in the house? Little girl shouldn't play with toads." What does the little girl think thereafter? Boy, has she ever done something wrong? Toads are evil. Oh, my God, they got me in big trouble. Well, that's a fantasy. That's a fallacy. That is wrong. However, the mother forgets it because the mom was having a big problem with a bill at the time and the child walked in at the wrong time. But for the rest of that child's life, that imprint is still there. And so Dr. Hayes, as well as myself and other people who teach conscious consciousness, human consciousness, and expanding the human consciousness and investigating it, exploring it, we get to that point where, as she did, hey, my life, my way.
I'm going to tell other people
how I did it so they too can get out of that darkness they're in. Go ahead, Carol. We got about a minute left.
Did she have a mentor? Did she mention anything about a mentor?
Oh, sure she did. Yeah, she had the shaman. She had other people that showed up. She had an angel appear to her. She had a metaphysical experience. You know, all the things you know about. But yes, go to her website, and it's Temple Hayes, TemplePlehayes.com, and find out more about her. And send a note saying you heard her interview on the Global Village radio show with Dr. Douglas, and you just thought she was an amazing interview. plug, you know.
I got one more question. Now,
okay.
My nemesis, now what do you see about my nemesis down the street?
Well, you know, we're getting down to, I see a grindstone. I see something grinding down. So your nemesis down the street is being worn down and ground and under some difficulty. So pray for her. Pray for her and say, God bless you and may you feel some peace. Better to be nice, you know.
Yes. And you know what, Dr. Kutcher, another thing that you can remind people of, that once you get it into your mind, you know, it'll go into your subconscious, your conscious, and then you'll get all kinds of help coming your way. And I think one of the keys to that is meditation. I think that's one of the keys is meditation to get you to feel and do better things.
Yep, you're right. Opens the door. When you start to meditate, you start to look inward. And when you look inward, you're starting on the journey within. All the time in the world, you're looking outward. And what you see outside the world is not you. It's what you're perceiving. Your eyes will deceive you. The emotions will deceive you. Circumstances in the life and life will deceive you. But as you start to look within and you seek that still, quiet mind inside, you will come across sooner or later a point of intelligence, and that intelligence will guide you. Your dreams will increase. Your intuition will increase. So that when you're wide awake, you'll know what to do. You'll know a lot of things like I do. You will do the same. Edgar Cayce did the same. He was extremely clairvoyant when he was awake. So was my mentor, Ross Peterson. The meditation was the, call it the red carpet that let him walk down into that inner chamber, that sanctum sanctorum, which is that mind, but you can view it any particular time you want. So meditation is the key. It starts down that path. And then as you, it's like a hallway. You go down the hallway and there's doors on either side of the hallway. And each door is a room full of a whole new experience, a whole new level of consciousness.
And Dr. Cutler,
but you can only go in one door at a time.
But Dr. Cutler,
you go in and you find out everything about it and go to the next one. Go ahead, Carol.
You have all. You have the people that meditate. You have the shamans. You have the channelers. You have the quantum meditators. But why is it you think that it is so difficult for them to explain what consciousness is? I asked Stephen Swartz, the remote
that
viewer.
That is a very good question. The reason is you have to be God to understand what human consciousness is. As Paul in the Good Book wrote, we look through a glass darkly, a dark glass. We can't see clearly, but we can find out things in part. There is no definitive answer to what human consciousness is. It is a finite mind looking to understand something that is in the infinitive. It is like looking for a needle in the haystack. It until you go through all the haystack, which takes probably a gazillion lifetimes, you'll never completely understand what human consciousness is. It's an evolving intelligence, and the thing is this, Carol, it's a personal journey. It's not a collective human consciousness. It's an individual in cooperation with the collective. And each one of us is like a brick in a wall. We're in our little place, our little brick. We're a brick sitting there. We don't know what it's like to be other bricks in other parts of the wall. We only know that if we're not there, there's a hole in the wall.
And so that's what
the consciousness is like. It's a totality of everything, but all we know is what's around us. Make sense? Okay, good question, Carol.
Well,
we got to go.
It's dependent on that brain, too. It's, you know, the brain can be dead, but consciousness still exists.
Yeah, consciousness is forever. It's eternal. And yet here we are in a finite way, living our life in a conscious way day by day. And what provokes us when we get angry, or what makes us sad, or it makes us happy, or we feel joy, it's all fleeting. People hang on to anger and negativity, and they don't hang on to joy. Why? If you ask somebody to say, tell me about yourself, they will tell you they will tell you 10 things. None of those 10 things, 8 or 9 of them will be bad things about themselves, and only 2 will be good. Take that, Carol. Try that. Ask people. Say, tell me 10 things about yourself, and then sit back and listen. Why do we do that? It's the human nature. Until we get to that wake-up point, which is what my podcast is all about, wake up, you know, and when you wake up, then you no longer tell people 10 bad things or 8 out of 10 things bad about yourself. You tell everybody 9 out of 10 good things about yourself in a nice way, non-ego way. Anyway, got to go, Carol. Good questions, as always, fits in with the show tonight. We're going to say goodnight, Carol, and to everyone else. Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey into the world of human consciousness. Remember, the path to personal growth doesn't end here. It's a continuous voyage of discovery. For those interested in going beyond listening, my website also offers selective a selection of exciting books and upcoming courses, douglasjamescottrell.com. Stay engaged by checking out my podcast, The Wake Up, as well as the Douglas James Cottrell Show on YouTube. And visit my podcast, Wake Up, and go to the YouTube channel. And don't forget to give us a like or a thumbs up. And to delve deeper into this, the douglasjamescottrell.com store has more information about my books. And to make a contribution to help us in our important mission of broadcasting to you, my friends, please do so, as we can help you on your path to self-discovery and finding the power within. On behalf of Paul Hughes, my producer, I'm reading something here, Paul Hughes, and we have our engineer friend Jack, who are participating in the Zoom movement, and co-host Doug Bentley, who's got the night off tonight. We want to thank all of you and thank them for their assistance and help in making this effort go forward to help you, my friends, find your inner way and to increase your level of the human consciousness. So I'm your host, Douglas Chase Cottrell. Until next time, keep exploring and keep growing. And until next time, take care and be well.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindProbe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.